Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam. And the month of November is on this most happening planet, place on earth on this planet. And today is November 6th. And 2 days more and the global Akhanda Bhajan will begin. The global non-stop 24-hour Sai Bhajan singing will start in Prashantinilayam, in every center, in every Sai Samiti, in every place where people congregate to sing the glory of Satya Sai. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that so inviting? Isn't that so sanctifying, so blissful? You can just forget everything for this 24 hours and concentrate your body, mind and soul. Immerse every cell of your being, every atom of your heart in thinking only of Him and Him and Him alone. People often take vacations to chill out, to be free from regular mundane work, the usual office rigmarole for a professional or the usual chores for someone looking after the house. And this is one opportunity for everyone to just drop everything for 24 hours and lose themselves in Sai, in His music, in His glory, in His energy. And we know how energized we will feel at the end of it, how charged we will be, how purified we will be. Because the power of Sai Bhajans is such, that is the power of collective devotional singing. And interestingly, today is also Guru Parab or Guru Nanak Jayanti, the day celebrated as the day when Sri Guru Nanak Dev made His advent. And I'm saying this is interesting because it is Guru Nanak who actually gave a huge fillip to this concept of collective singing, collective devotional singing. And I'm saying this not because of what is recorded in history or not, because what the Sikhs say, because this is what Swami Himself revealed in a discourse before the Akhanda Bhajan started during Shivratri in 1992. Swami said, there is a big difference between Kirtanam and Sankirtanam. Samyak Kirtanam Sankirtanam, Swami said. Congregational singing of bhajans is the best of bhajans. And then Bhagwan went on to explain the difference between Kirtanam and Sankirtanam. And He said, Kirtanam is an individual affair. It is singing by a single person for the fulfillment of his or her prayers. But Sankirtanam aims at the well-being of the whole universe. This is also described as Samajika Bhajans or community singing. And then Bhagwan revealed that this method of singing bhajans, this method of collective community singing, was first initiated by Guru Nanak Dev Ji, the founder of Sikhism. Sri Guru Nanak of 15th century, during his lifetime of 70 years, followed by another 9 gurus, they covered almost every aspect of human life. However, as regards to individual and social life of a man, Guru Nanak Ji propagated 3 basic teachings during whole of his life. And the first thing was Kirat Karo, which means earn your livelihood honestly. For livelihood, a man should earn, should shed his own sweat and should not become parasite on the earning of others by begging or stealing or things like that, unethical means. As per Guru Nanak Dev Ji, you cannot hope to elevate your spirit or to reach God unless you earn your own livelihood by honest means. It is righteousness in action. He not only propagated this theoretically, but he demonstrated it practically, because he himself was grazing the cattle, he was working in the stores, he was carrying out cultivation in Kartarpur till the end of his life. And the second important precept that he propagated is Bant Chako, which means share your livelihood with others. Somebody cultivates and we eat. Somebody else manufactures the clothes and we wear and enjoy. Somebody builds a house and we live in. A third person develops science and technology and we make use of it and benefit from it. If the cultivators stop their work, if somebody does not generate electricity or somebody else stops the train or the means of transportation and communication, then our whole life can come to a standstill. Our life depends upon others, and somebody else's life depends on us. If I'm a teacher, the future of certain students depend on me. If I'm a doctor, someone's health and life depends on me. Therefore, when I'm working in any capacity, I should always remember that there is somebody who depends upon the fruits of my own work or labor. And that is why we must be grateful to all those who are involved in our birth, in our growth, in our food, in our livelihood, who are in some way connected in the discharging of our responsibilities. And we should understand our duties towards these people and towards these other parts of our society. And as per Guru Nanak Dev Ji, we must part off something from our own earning for such people. In fact, later on, a system of Dasvand was made under which one should spare 10% of one's earnings for the welfare of society. And the third important precept that Guru Nanak Dev Ji told us is Naam Japo, which means always remember the name of God. Recite the name of God. As per Guru Nanak Dev Ji, the recitation of the name and pondering over the qualities of the Lord is the best method of spiritual elevation. Guru Nanak believed that God is a form of light, and our mind and our soul is also a form of same light. And that is why at one place he recites a line which means, O my mind, you are another form of the same light, the God. You must realize your own root, and that implies that realization of one's own mind and oneself is like realization of God. He preached that when hands and feet become dirty, we wash with water. When clothes become smeared with some dirt, we wash them by applying soap. But when mind becomes impure with our vices, it can be purified only by application of God's name. In Sukhmani Sahib, it is written, Jiva jal me jal ei khatana, tiyo jyoti sang jyoti samana. This means the mind which is purified of all the vices goes and mixes up with the God and becomes an integral part of God, becomes totally inseparable and non-identifiable from God. Guru Nanak says that as the rivers and the stream meet the oceans, and then they lose their identity and become integral part of the ocean and cannot be further recognized as separate water bodies, same way when mind becomes as pure as God, then it goes and mixes with God in such a way that it loses its own identity and becomes an integral part of God. That is the relationship between our mind, our soul and God. In fact, this is what Bhagwan said in 1992 before the Akhand Bhajan. Swami said, there is no greater means of God realization in the present age than chanting the name of the Lord. And then Swami exhorted everyone, embodiments of divine love, regard community singing as sacred devotional exercise. Even if you have no musical ability, utter the names of the Lord with feeling and love. There is no greater way to attain the Lord in this Kali age. In the earlier times, in the times before Rama, it was Dhyana that was the way to attain the Lord. Later it became sacrifice, yagna, in the Treta Yuga, and during the time of Krishna, it was archana or worship. But now, in this Kali age, it is Nama Sankirtana. And then Bhagwan went on to explain that there are four kinds of Sankirtanas: Guna Sankirtana, Leela Sankirtana, Bhava Sankirtana, and Nama Sankirtana. Guna Sankirtana, Swami said, is where the devotee recites the auspicious qualities of the divine, and through that experiences oneness with the divine and acquires those godly qualities. And Swami gave the example of Tyagaraja. In one of his kirtanas, Tyagaraja exclaims to the Lord, O Lord, you are beyond all words. Is it possible for even Brahma or other gods to extol your glorious exploits? I am waiting for your grace. Listen to my entreaties. You restored to the preceptor the son whom the Lord of death had taken away. You conquered the God of love. You liberated from prison Vasudeva and Devaki. You protected Draupadi when she appealed to you in despair. You were the guardian of the Pandavas. You relieved Kuchela of his poverty. You saved 16,000 Gopikas from subjection. So this is the way Tyagaraja recounts the great qualities the great feats of the Lord in his songs, and this Bhagwan said is Guna Sankirtana. Next is Leela Sankirtana, where the devotee revels in the sports of the divine. He expresses his joy at the Lord's play by ecstatic dancing and singing and being totally absorbed in it. And Swami said, Jayadeva exemplified this form of Sankirtana. Jayadeva, the composer of the famous song Gita Govinda. Even today in Odisha and West Bengal, you would find this Ashta Praharis, where for 24 hours they would engage in singing and dancing in joy, in happiness with the Lord, in the Lord. And the third is Bhava Sankirtana. And Swami says this is illustrated by Radha alone, who expresses her different feelings towards God and identifies herself with the divine in every mood of devotion. And Swami says there are so many moods of devotion, as Santam, Serenity, as Sakyam, as Friendship, as Vatsalyam, as Eternal Love, as Anuraga, as Deep Affection, as Madhuram, as Sweetness. The different ways you can relate to the Lord in your mood of devotion, as a friend, as an eternal companion, as someone who is the sweetest thing of your life. And Swami said Radha and Meera love the Lord in so many ways, and no one can take the place of Bhava. When it comes to Bhava, it has to be always Radha and Meera. I remember how just the mention of Radha and Meera would always move Swami. Once when some students in Kodaikanal had brought a statue of Meera and told Bhagwan, Swami, we have brought Meera. Swami said, no, Meera is in me. You have only brought a statue. The last is Nama Sankirtana. And Swami said Chaitanya was the exponent of this form of Kirtana. All names are yours. There is nothing in this cosmos which does not bear the imprint of your name and your form. Sarva Rupa Dharam Shantam Sarva Nama Dharam Shivam Satchidananda Rupam Advaitam Satyam Shivam Sundaram. Bhagwan sang this. Nama Sankirtana is where you see the Lord everywhere. There is no particle in this universe where you don't find the reflection of the Lord. Everything in this universe is beautiful and glorious. After explaining all these forms of Sankirtanas, Bhagwan then gave the punchline and the greatest blessing also for all of us. Swami said, in each of these previous yugas, the devotees adopted one or another method for singing the glories of the Lord. Either Guna Sankirtana, Bhava Sankirtana, Leela Sankirtana or Nama Sankirtana. And then Swami said, it is the supreme good fortune of the residents of Prashanti Nilayam to enjoy all the four forms of Sankirtana. And then Bhagwan said, the bhajans sung here are a combination of all the four forms of Sankirtana. That is how beautifully Bhagwan has given us this gift of Sai Bhajans. All the forms of Sankirtanam are latent in this medium of Sai Bhajans. In Sai Bhajans, we have Guna Sankirtana. We pray to the Lord, Sai Shanti Dai, Prema Dai, Bhakta Jana Vihari Anand, Anathanatha Bhagavan. We adore the Lord in so many beautiful ways. Putaparthi Vihari, Putavarthi Shada Chakravarthi. That is Guna Sankirtana, Prana Sakha Bhagavan. That is all Guna Sankirtana. We have Leela Sankirtana. Radha Ke Natavarela Kanheya. Govinda, Govinda, Gaye Re Man, Bhaje Radhe Gopal Krishna, Gaye. These are all, you're just relishing the divine sport of the Lord. You have Bhava Sankirtana, where you're lost in your prayers to the Lord, expressing your love to the Lord. Tumari sharana bin anath hum tere dwar pe main aa मुझे शांति दो भगवान. दीज आर ऑल प्रेयर्स टू द लॉर्ड, लॉस्ट अपीलिंग टू द लॉर्ड, ऑल इंस्टेंसेस ऑफ भाव संकीर्तन. And you have so many bhajans filled with nama sankirtana. Hari 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 Smarana Karo, Sai Sai Smarana Karo. So that is how magical is Sai bhajans. Everything is packed in this powerful gift that Bhagwan has given us. And then Bhagwan went on to share what is the essence of Sankirtana. And Swami said the essential purpose of Sankirtana is to earn the love of God. Combining one's voice, one's tune, one's feeling and rhythm to the appropriate beat of the song, the devotee should immerse himself in the singing, harmonizing the feeling with devotion and love. The sacred words of the song should be an outpouring of love towards God. Swami said that alone is devotional singing. When we harmonize our feeling with devotion and love to the sacred words of the song, that is what is devotional singing. And dear listeners, we got a beautiful taste of this when we did recently the bhajan competition on Radio Sai website. The original idea, in fact, was to have it as a competition and to announce winners, to judge the bhajans, the original compositions sent to us. But then, you know what happened. We received 170 original amazing bhajans from Saudi Arabia, Germany, Nepal, Singapore, England, Bahrain, Canada, Malaysia, Croatia, Australia, New Zealand, Netherlands, UAE, USA, South Africa, so many, of course, from India. People from so many countries responded and sent us more than 170 amazing bhajans. On the last day, October 13, 2014, we received over 40 entries. It was so overwhelming. But what was even more heart-touching were the bhajans themselves, each one so soulful, so filled with intense emotion, so suffused with Sai love. And we thought the judges are going to have a difficult task, because how do you judge these bhajans? In any case, we passed it on to four distinguished members of the Prashanti Bhajan group who had kindly accepted to evaluate these compositions. 2 days passed and one judge returned to us and he said, "Oh, it is not as easy as I had imagined. Now I need to rethink my decision to be judge." So basically he was telling that I cannot do this job. And then another one dropped in and said, "I am sorry, this is beyond me. I can maybe examine the raga and tala of the bhajan, but who am I to judge the bhava, the feeling? The Lord alone knows the deepest feelings of a devotee and I am no one to evaluate that. Please excuse me from this project." Second judge also decided not to be a judge. And then came the third person who said, "I remember on one occasion when Swami stopped us from singing one bhajan, and we wondered why, because it was a bhajan which was composed well and its lyrics were also meaningful. But when we asked Swami in an interview why we should not sing that bhajan, Swami said, that bhajan was not composed in good taste. The Lord alone knows what has gone into the creation of these melodies." And so this person said, "I don't think I can put marks on the feeling latent in these bhajans. So I am absolutely incapable to carry out this task." And so, dear listeners, that is how we pray to Bhagwan what to do. We had said it is a competition and this is what our judges came back with. And that is when we realized how mistaken we were. How could bhajan, something that connects us to the divine, ever enter the domain of being a competition? How can anyone ever measure the feeling that wells up in our being when we pour out our hearts singing for him? And that is the reason why we felt inspired to share all these unique musical offerings for everyone to listen, to relish and to share. And that is how you have everything now on our website uploaded. You can listen to them, you can enjoy them, you can share with them. Take it to your samitis, take it to your heart, take it to anyone who relishes Sai Bhajans. And of course, what we did as promised is we offered everything at Bhagwan Sri Lotus Feet on the Avatar Declaration Day. And also as promised, we are sending every participant a token of gratitude and love from Radio Sai for giving us this beautiful opportunity, for this amazing chance for us to listen to their lovely pieces of their soul. So dear listeners, what I'm going to do today, tonight, is share one or two of these compositions, and then we will listen to Brother Sonam Gyamso, former student of Bhagwan's University, who shares with us the stories behind so many of his compositions which are sung even today. So this is what we will be doing tonight. It is going to be a session of Bhavamrutam of Sai Bhajans.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 9:10, and as promised, we will listen to one or two of these compositions, original compositions sent to us by devotees who responded to our appeal to send us original compositions. And I begin with one which was sent to us by Mr. Sasidharan from Kerala. In fact, he wrote back to us telling that he really welcomes our decision for not considering the bhajans for a competition. And he said, "I consider it as a divine decision," he says. So let us listen to this beautiful composition by Mr. Sasidharan from Kerala, India.
Pitambaradhari
ఘనశ్యా
So that was Mr. Sashidharan's composition, his submission to Bhagwan in response to our bhajan competition request. And interestingly, Mr. Sashidharan felt inspired to compose this bhajan after attending an Akhanda Bhajan in Calicut Samiti in Kerala. This happened 10 years ago. In fact, after he composed this, he composed many more and he made it into an album. And that is entitled Anubhuti, and he offered it to Bhagwan. Like this, the Lord has inspired so many with such lovely melodies. 5 years ago, the Krishnastami festival was drawing near and a youngster, Amit Nepal from Nepal, was reading a book of letters written by Bhagwan to his students. And as he was reading this, you know, he got very emotional because he saw the love that Swami has for the students and how Swami guides and teaches and protects and guards his students. And he thought to himself, will the Lord ever write a letter to me too? Will He guide me too? Will He show me that He loves me too? And he slept with this thought, and that night he had a dream and he saw Swami in the dream. And Bhagwan is telling him, you wish that you become my student and I become your guru, right? Do not worry. Even if you are not a student of Satya Sai University in Prashantanilayam, you think of me as your guru, then automatically you will become my student. So that's it. You are my student. Swami said, be happy. Sai is always with you. He will always guide you. And he will always do what is best for you. Not just what is good for you. What is best for you. So this is a beautiful message that he received, Bhagwan telling him in his dream. And you know, when he woke up the next morning, he was feeling so refreshed. This dream occupied his mind completely and he just wanted to relive this dream and offer his gratitude to Bhagwan by singing out to him. And that is how in the next 5 minutes a bhajan emerged. Prema Pradayaka Sai Ram.
प्रेम प्रदायक साई राम प्रेम प्रदायक साई राम प्रेम प्रदायक साई श्याम प्रेम प्रदायक साई श्याम प्रेम प्रदायक साई राम करुणा के सागर दीन दयाला करुणा के सागर दीन दयाला ईश्वराम्ब के हे गोपाला ईश्वराम्ब के हे गोपाला शरण मिले
was a beautiful dream, a lovely message and reassurance from Swami. And for all these bhajans, the inspiration has been so varied and so beautiful. For someone it was a dream, for someone else it was a photo, for the third it was an experience, for the fourth it was a trip to Prashanti, and the fifth composed a bhajan listening to another bhajan. It is so amazing when you read what inspired each of these devotees to come up with such outpourings of love. And you will of course find all of this on our website, and I definitely want to share more of this on the radio, play for you these lovely melodies straight from the heart. And I'm definitely going to do that in the future episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. But for today, let us move on and let us take from where we left off last Thursday. I played for you the first part of the conversation with Brother Sonam Gyamso, a former student of Bhagwan's University, where he shares the stories behind some of his compositions which are sung even today. So we will move on to the conversation with Brother Sonam Gyamso. He belongs to one of the very early batch of students, and he sings even now. In fact, he's currently there in Prashantinilayam. He sings in Prashantinilayam, and he's been gifted to compose many bhajans, and listening to him has always been a very, very enriching experience, because his journey to Sai has been something which has only elevated him, and listening to it, we will know how to polish our heart, how to chisel ourselves to become better instruments of the divine. Brother Sonam Gyamso,
you know, possibly can come up with something like this.
Definitely, you are so right, and that also happens only by His grace, His karuna.
His grace, absolutely.
Like so many times, Vishu, I have felt completely devoid of any substance,
yes,
like devoid of any feel,
yes.
And there have been harrowing moments wherein I feel, and especially, you know, when I'm away from Prashantinilayam and right there in Gangtok, Sikkim, and when I just left this place and went there, those moments were terrible, at the same time very fulfilling, in the sense that, you know, those terrifying moments inspired so many beautiful bhajans there, and bhajans were the only succor, the only help, you know, that filled me up. Like so many times I would feel bhava shunya, you know, if there could be a word like bhava shunya, wherein you are devoid of any feel.
Absolutely empty.
Absolutely empty. And I started questioning myself, is it that because I have moved away from Prashantinilayam, is it that, Swami, I have lost you? Is it that I have really moved away from you? And then the next moment He fills you up. And that filling moment, you know, that process of filling you, the process of that fulfillment, also happens only by His grace. There's nothing that you and me can do with our tiny ego. It's only by His grace that you are filled with devotion. It is only by His grace that devotion gets expressed in terms of poetry or music or anything, sculpture, whatever. And then ultimately, it is only by His grace that we are able to understand that it's not we who are doing it. And such a beautiful experience. And I understand that this is the crux of the Vedant. This is the crux of Yoga Vashishta. This is the crux of Bhakti Vedant. And this is what Swami has taught us practically without holding a text in His hand. Without teaching us the nuances of these through a book, through shlokas, just practically by making us go through it, live through it. So beautiful.
Amazing. And that only a Sadguru can do that.
Only Sadguru can do. And only living, God as Sadguru can,
yes,
do it.
Yes, can do that. As you mentioned, that is the height of Vedantic experience, where here the composer, the composition, and to whom it is being offered, everything becomes one actually.
Beautiful. Beautiful, yes.
At that moment.
Yeah, exactly.
At that moment, you can't distinguish the composer from the composition from the person to whom it is
exactly
offered to. Who is the inspiration, basically.
Definitely.
I think composer is only one. And the composition is, and him are just the same. Like,
the
you
same.
Can't separate the name and the form of the Lord. Both are just the same.
Exactly.
And just becomes, and you don't exist.
And you don't exist. And the whole composition, if you look at it in a small, tiny speck, it is the whole macrocosm.
Yes.
That is the whole creation that you see in a Meera Bhajan. It's the whole creation that we see in a beautiful Bandish. It's the whole creation that we see somewhere there. And wherever the ego gets, you know, added there, then there is this Maya. When there is the ego, when the ego vanishes, there is only this totality, this absoluteness. It's so beautiful.
Fantastic. You said that once you went back from Prashantinilayam to Gangtok, there was one period where because of that emptiness that you felt, you again fell back on music to fill that emptiness within you. So what were some of the creations that happened at that time?
Vishu, before I get into that, can I just narrate a few things that were happening to me at the fag end of my post-graduation here?
Sure, please.
And then that was a time, again, I was going through another bout of difficult times here, wherein Swami was almost every day telling my mother that I'll tell him to get out of Puttaparthi, I'll just throw him out. And Gattika Chappu, tell him very sternly
that he should leave the place.
That I'll throw him out.
I'll throw him
out. I won't allow him to stay here. And to any extent that my mother was trying to advocate on my behalf, Swami would say, just because he is your son, you are trying to advocate on his behalf. He is not your son. Nobody is anybody's son, or there is no such relation at all. It's only physical. You are all related only to the Supreme. So he would tell these to my mother, give discourses, interviews, but then I would be left out. So that was a time when in the hostel, a wonderful thing started happening. I would wake up very early in the morning, night I would sleep, and this made me go deep within me and find out a lot of self-introspection. And as a result of my self-introspection, I found out that what Swami was telling me, the mistake that he was showing me, was only the tip of the iceberg. Like me trying to fend him, me trying to advocate on Bhagwan's behalf, this was actually the immediate cause at that point of time. And Swami said, do you need to advocate on my behalf when you have to bolster your own faith and your devotion? And you don't need to do that on my behalf. Try to nurture your own faith and devotion. So that was the time when I used to wake up very early, and I used to be the earliest riser in the hostel, and boys used to put chits near my pillow and near my bed. I'll be sleeping there, wake me up, because I used to be the person to strike the bell and ring the bell for Suprabhatam and prepare the hall for Suprabhatam. When I woke up one fine morning, I found that the room, our dormitory, was fragrant with the smell of Parijat flowers, jasmine flowers, you know, that's very wonderful, tantalizing, like fragrance of jasmine. And the whole jasmine was right inside my cupboard. In my cupboard, there was newspaper, which was made into a khomcha, you know, that wrapper?
Yes.
In which you put peanuts and all that.
Yes, like a cone.
Like a cone. It was a cone, yeah, the right word. So it was a newspaper cone, and the newspaper had been so beautifully clipped and made. And inside that, it was a whole cone full of jasmine flowers kept for the puja inside my desk. So I thought that it must be because I was going through difficult times, and so many students, so many brothers would write small chits and leave it there, saying that don't worry, things will get well, things will go well again, nothing will happen, don't lose heart, you know. So many well-wishers everywhere. So I thought some of my well-wishers, some seniors would have kept that there just to encourage me. So I did my puja in the morning with those Parijat flowers, but I was wondering, where did so many Parijat flowers come from? And the next day, again, when I woke up, there was the same Parijat flower there. So after 4 or 5 days, I wanted to catch the person who was my benefactor, who was putting the Parijat flowers there. And when I looked around me, that day when I woke up very early, normally it would happen when I would wake up, it would be there. Or when I would come back from bath, it would be there. When I woke up, it was near there. After bath, when I came back from the bathroom, again, it was placed there. So I could never catch the person who was putting the Parijat flowers. And then I started going around, scouting around to see where are the Parijat flower trees.
It happened for how many days?
One whole month.
One whole month, you're
not
able to
not at all.
Find out who is the person.
And one whole month, this was so encouraging from Bhagwan. Definitely for me. And as Bhagwan keeps telling us, Yad Bhavan Tad Bhavati, even to this day, until the end of my breath, I'll believe that it was Bhagwan who placed those Parijat flowers for my puja, so that he would encourage me. And when this was happening, so much of chemistry was happening within me, inside me. There was so much of stirring up inside me. And then I was going through.
So on one hand, on the physical plane, Swami was putting you through one test, sort of. You're
exactly
saying that, you know, I want to send him out and all that.
Yeah.
On the other hand, spiritually, he was giving you all the encouragement.
All the encouragement.
That was needed for you to grow.
Exactly.
Stay on.
So it was at that time that this bhajan, you know, this bhajan is in Rag Pilu,
Yes.
Which has got so much of Karunaras in it. Although I felt later on that this sounds like Pilu, but even to this day I don't know really. Those who know music should know what raga is this. Karuna Nikhi, you know this bhajan?
Yes.
And it's sung here also even today. Karuna Niketan Bhakt Sakha Prabhu Sharan Milo Bhagavan. Karuna Niketan Bhakt Sakha Prabhu Sharan Milo Bhagavan. Dukh Bhanjan Shri Ram, Dukh Bhanjan Shri Ram. Tribhuvan Sanchari Jyoti Swarupa, Tribhuvan Sanchari Jyoti Swarupa. Nitya Niranjan Ram, Nitya Niranjan Ram, Adi Anantahe Prema Swarupa, Adi Anantahe Prema Swarupa. Dukh Bhanjan Shri Ram, Dukh Bhanjan Shri Ram. Karuna Niketan Bhakt Sakha Prabhu Sharan Milo Bhagavan. Dukh Bhanjan Shri Ram. This was one bhajan. So there was a cluster of bhajans during that time. Almost every other day, every 2 days, he was giving me some bhajan. So if I was unable to sing it before Swami, because anytime I would face him, I was all the time crying. I was just breaking down. And it was so difficult to sing. And Sanjeev used to sing this bhajan, Sanjeev Barbora. And this beautiful bhajan. Dina Janavan Dina Samraksh. You would have heard this bhajan?
I am not familiar with this.
Sanjeev used to sing this bhajan.
Okay.
Dina Janavan Dina Samraksh Sanatan Sarthi Devadhideva. Dina Janavan Dina Samrakshak Sanatan Sarthi Devadhideva. Adi Sanatana Nitya Niranjana Jagato Dharan Sai Narayan Jyoti Swarupa Prema Swarupa Jyoti Swarupa Prema Swarupa Prashanti Swarupa Devadhideva. Prashanti Swarupa Devadideva. Dina Janavan.
It's really so moving, because difficult to express in words, because this bhajan describes Bhagwan so beautifully, what yeah. He is, you know. And definition of Bhagwan is just that unlimited compassion. And he may do anything, but he never stops being compassionate. And it starts with that. And then it goes on to, he's that eternal one, Adi Sanatana.
During that time, it was just before nearing Swami's 60th birthday, 1985. And Swami just sent word that I shouldn't be allowed to play harmonium.
Mm-hmm.
And Neil was playing harmonium, Neil Bordoloi. Then he looked at me very compassionately, that poor fellow. And I couldn't sing without playing harmonium. And I needed to hang on this harmonium. And that was a beautiful way of weaning me away from this support system, wherein you sing, to sing the Lord's glory and don't lean on somebody, lean on anything. And it was a beautiful experience for me, because it helped me later on also. It really purified my Shruti also to some extent. And it was at the time that this bhajan, Yuga Avatara Pavan Dhamu, was composed at the time.
Yuga Avatara Pavan Dhamu, Yuga Avatara Pavan Dhamu, Kaivalya Dayak Ram Saye, Kaivalya Dayak Ram Saye, Yuga Avatara Pavan Dhamu, Karuna Sagar Prem Ke Sindho, Karuna Sagar Prem Ke Sindho, Dina Bandhu Dina Nath Bhagwan, Dina Bandhu Dina Nath Bhagwan, Anupam Sundar Prashanti Vasa, Anupam Sundar Prashanti Vasa, Hridayeshwar Sai Ram, Hridayeshwar Sai Ram, Yuga Avatara Pavan Dhamu.
I just thought that maybe this bhajan is not being sung, or maybe a lot of people don't know this bhajan.
Yeah, I am also hearing it for the first time. But it is so beautiful.
So I thought of singing it fully.
Yes, yes. I think we should start singing this bhajan.
Yeah, it's a beautiful bhajan.
Absolutely. And like most of your bhajans, they flow so beautifully. You know, that is one characteristic of whatever came through you, inspired by Bhagwan. They flow through beautifully, and most of them will have a nice crescendo and then they will come back. You need all those elements in a prayer, right? You need all those elements.
Perhaps, you know, the ups and downs that you experience in the course of one treatment from Bhagwan, these are all what I would call treatments, you know.
Yes.
We are all sick people. And whenever he treats you, and then these are the chemical reactions in you.
Yes.
These are, you could say, psychological, psychochemical reactions in you.
Yes.
And then emotional reactions in you, and they get expressed, and by His grace, it gets expression. Otherwise, how could you tell what you are feeling? If not for a bhajan, how could you tell the whole world, if not for poetry and music, or through art, how could anyone tell what he or she is feeling in the depths of his or her heart? So it could be that, and that was a time when I had gone home, and that was the penultimate. Like, you know, I never knew whether I would be again back here. And it was just when you are about to complete your graduation or post-graduation, it's a time, it's a transition in your life wherein you go to the next level. So you don't know whether that next level will come and where you'll be, you know, it'll land you.
Yes.
Wherever you're going to land, you don't know. So after my post-graduation, during my vacation when I'd gone home, and then they're back in Sikkim, this beautiful bhajan in, this is a Rag Desh bhajan. It's a beautiful bhajan. And I got it recorded through one lady, is a very good singer, one sister there in Gangtok. She sang it and I brought it here so that boys could hear it. And Sanjeev told me that, my God, she's singing it so well. I don't think I'll be able to do real justice to this bhajan. And for a lot of reasons, we sang it once or twice. And after that, we couldn't sing before Bhagwan.
Kalimala Bhanjan He Parameshwar Karuna Sindhura Saye Ram Saye Ram Saye Ram Saye Ram, 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 Ram. Ah, आनंददायक अयोध्या रामा प्रेम प्रदायक राम धर्म स्वरूप प्रशांति निलय त्रिभुवन पालक राम करुणा सिंधुरा करुणा सिंधुरा.
सो नो सुंदर, आई केम बैक फ्रॉम माय वेकेशन. I sang this mandir before Swami, this bhajan. But people said that it's very complicated and a lot of people didn't sing it and it remained there. So I think it's not very popular. People don't know about these bhajans. Yeah. Some of these bhajans.
I was also not familiar with it at all. I think there are such lovely creations that Bhagwan has given, and perhaps it should not get lost in the passages and the alleys of time. And I think we need to resurrect these beautiful compositions because they all come from Bhagwan.
Definitely, we should.
And only for the reason that, you know, each bhajan has its own flavor and has its own way of communicating what a singer might want to communicate to the Lord. Because many times when you're sitting for a bhajan session, you want to say something to the Lord. And you're looking for a bhajan which will give me that kind of feel, you know. Which is that bhajan through which if I sing, then I can say to Bhagwan all that is there in my heart. So, you know, which day, which bhajan will actually do that job for you, you don't know. So I think we need to preserve, that's why everything. Because, you know, which devotee will be able to relate and communicate and use this to convey his prayers, we don't know. So everything has its own flavor, everything has its own divine origins, and that's why everything has to be preserved so that they become useful instruments for people to connect with the Lord.
Vishu, frankly telling you, being an accomplished bhajan singer yourself, you are able to feel this and you are telling me. And we both are sharing the same platform, the same field, because for you and me, it has been only bhajan and bhajan alone through which we talked to Bhagwan, we prayed to Bhagwan, we spoke our hearts out only through bhajan. No letters, no other prayers, no going through somebody. None of these could really help us when we were in really dire need of his support. And then it's only bhajan that brought us very close to Bhagwan. One bhajan, and then his eyes would be moist. Because I still remember when I was not being allowed to play harmonium, that first day when I was dropped, the second day I was just sitting like this, and Neil was playing for me, he said, "You sing." And when he asked me to sing a bhajan, and then all of a sudden, you know, you have been singing bhajan before the Lord for such a long time, and all of a sudden when you are just left out, and the next moment you are an outsider, he can do that to you. He can really play it so well, he can make you really feel right in your guts that you are no more there now. You are out of it. And that makes you so desperate. You want to hang on to him and say that, "Please Swami, I am prepared to do anything, but please forgive me Swami." Because this is one thing that you cannot really tolerate in your life. You cannot live with it.
Exactly.
And then on the second day, when this was happening, I sang a bhajan, which I had never sung in my entire life here. Suddenly that bhajan came to my mind, as you said just now. And then through the lines of that bhajan, I was able to communicate with him. And you know that bhajan was Kalyana Krishna Kamaniya Krishna, composed by Kalyan Chowdhury. I had heard this bhajan, I had learned this bhajan long back, but never sang it before him. But when the right moment came, when I was not allowed to play harmonium, and then I knew that Bhagwan was seemingly very, very angry with me. Seemingly. Yeah?
Yikes. Yeah, yeah.
And then I really believed it was happening. I was being thrown out. And then this one bhajan saved me. I just sang that bhajan and people told me that Swami just, there were two drops of tears in his eyes. He just walked out. He just got up and walked out of the hall. And he went straight to Neil Bordoloi's grandmother, who was living here in Puttaparthi permanently, and then said, "Who is singing bhajan inside, do you know?" So Neil's grandmother said, "I don't know, Swami." And Swami said, "He's a madcap, pagal hai, Sikkim ka pagal gata hai." Swami said that and walked back into the bhajan hall, sat on the throne and stopped my song.
Stopped your song?
Stopped it. So seemingly on the face of it, he stopped my bhajan and my world was, you know, my world crumpled down completely. When Bhagwan stops your bhajan midway, You know what happens?
You don't want to live anymore.
You alone know it. I know it. Because we have all experienced that. But later on in the hostel, back in the hostel, when Neil told me that, Swami said this about you. Not even my name. Swami said, oh, pagal, Sikkim ka pagal gata hai. Swami said this too. No, so Swami said one more beautiful thing. Sikkim ko pagal gata hai. Aisa gana, Swami ko achha lagta hai.
Aisa gana, Swami ko achha lagta hai.
Swami said this to Neil's grandmother so that
such type of singing.
The right person, so that I would hear it from him. So on one side, I had to go through this because of my own, the disease that I was carrying with me. I had to be treated. But at the same time, he was also holding me and holding me so tight, so that I shouldn't really suffer and I shouldn't really be devastated and I shouldn't break down completely. So this was happening and I'm only showcasing my experience because I can't speak somebody's experience. But then the whole world has the same experience in different shades of the same experience, different tones and tenors of the same experience. Can't imagine it.
The imagery that comes to my mind is a mother, you know. A mother wants that child to go through something.
Yes.
But all the time, you know, mother is so concerned about it. The mother has deprived a child of something, then the mother is actually a thousand times more concerned what is going to happen to the kid. How is he going to take this? All she wants is that the child should pass that test, you know, so that the child grows. And you see that eagerness in Swami. And even when he gives that test to us, he's around all the while trying to protect, trying to ensure that the shield is there. Nothing should happen
exactly
to this child.
Exactly.
But
he's all the time bearing us, holding us.
All the time holding. But he has to grow. That's all. There is a love, and that's how, I mean, this episode is just an essay of this.
Exactly, no doubt about it.
It's really wonderful when you sing, you know.
Some of these bhajans were like Gananath Sai Gajanana. Now, when I was composing this bhajan, like, I didn't again sit to compose a bhajan like Gananath Sai Gajanana. All that thought came to me was again Sai Ke Darbar.
Yes.
I am singing Lord Ganapati in all his regal splendor, sitting in his court. But I have always, the imagery of Lord Ganesh is all the time with his tiny rat and some place, either seated lotus petal. But here I am seeing my Lord seated on a throne and then in all his regal splendor. And then this bhajan was the outcome of that feel.
Yes. So did you plan that you want to compose in Darbari or it just came?
No, that's what, it came. And because the thought was so much, even when I was singing that beautiful composition of, I think, Kalyan Chowdhury, Sai Darbar Mein Aao Gao for A Bridge Across Time. When I was singing the bhajan, the imagery was again Swami Ke Darbar.
Yes.
You know, I am in his Darbar. You know that, Mana Mandir Mein Raja Di Raja Tum Ho Sai Maharaj. One of the most beautiful compositions, some blessed person, he composed that bhajan. And Kalyan Chowdhury composed this bhajan, Mana Mandir Mein Raja Di Raja. And when even the thought of Raja Di Raja Maharaj, Bhagwan, yes, you know, it's so powerful, so rich. So this Gananath Sai Gajanana was composed, and after I reached home, Gangtok, Sikkim, and as you said, whenever you were feeling a little bit lonely and left out, he would fill you with so many bhajans, and in between some occasions would come in your life. Like in 1996, I wanted to record one album, and bhajan album for the Sri Satya Sai State Trust of Sikkim.
Okay.
So I went all the way to Bombay, and that gave me a beautiful excuse. Like, it was again a beautiful inspiration to have a few more bhajans added there. So I took some bhajans from the past to be put in that bhajan CD. And then one beautiful bhajan that he gave me at the time was
Karuna Swarupini Raj Rajeshwari.
This bhajan is very familiar, yeah?
Yeah, it is familiar. Not sung so often, but definitely.
Then I'll sing it full bhajan
sure.
Once.
Yeah, please.
Karuna Swarupini Raj Rajeshwari Tribhuvana Palini Partipurishwari Hridaya Nivasini Akhilandeshwari Tripura Sundari Veena Vadini दश भुज धारिणी असुर विनाशिनी त्रिभुवन पालिनी प्रतिपुरेश्वरी करुणा स्वरूपिणी.
And then one bhajan in Rag Chakravakam, Ahir Bhairo.
Yes.
Akhil Jagat Ke Data Sai, I think, is very much sung.
Yes.
So that was also composed for that bhajan album, 1996. And then...
This Karuna Swarupini is such a moving bhajan. And one thing also that I've noticed in many of your compositions is the element of Karuna is always there. Is it Karuna Sagara, Karuna Swarupini, Karuna Niti? It's always there. And that is what is the essence of the Sai of that. Yes, sir. Please go on.
Vishu, can I also share one more bhajan? That was Akhil Jagat Ke Data Sai, which I was telling you just now.
Yes.
In Ahir Bhairo. And I'll just feel like singing it once.
Sure.
Akhil Jagat Ke Data Sai. अखिल जगत के दाता साई शिरडी निवासी भगवान दर्शन दो भगवान साई दर्शन दो भगवान कलिमल भंजन परम दयावन करुणा निधे श्रीवासा करुणा निधे प्रतिवासा दीन जनावन पार्ति महेशा शिरडी निवासी भगवान दर्शन दो भगवान साये दर्शन दो भगवान.
The scale is very high.
Again, I'm really tempted to ask you, what was the thought process? Because this bhajan evokes so many emotions. So what was the thought process in your mind, in your heart when this one came out?
Just when I had sung this bhajan in the studio, and that was my first experience ever, singing a bhajan in a recording studio. And there was this music director, there were a lot of very good artists, very good sitar player, wonderful flutist. And I was feeling completely lost, and I went to the console room, kept Swami's photograph, offered Mangal Aarti, and prayed to Swami, please help me. Another thing that happened was, I had given these songs to an arranger, a very famous arranger. Beforehand, I had sent him the cassette of these songs so that he would arrange the music and keep it ready for me. Now the studio was booked, and Shri Pandurang Dikshit ji, he condescended to come to the studio.
Wow.
And since he was in person there, he brought people of his caliber to play. And the music was not composed by this gentleman. And I said, what am I going to do now? I was a bundle of nerves then. Then he said, you have composed the bhajan. Why don't you do the music also? Just tell me the music, I'll write it down, and I'll just arrange it here. I'll just distribute it. I'll tell the musicians. You tell me, because you have composed the bhajan, you'll be the best person to compose the music also. So, a novice like me, I sat in a corner, and that Atma Nivedan, if you listen to that album, every bhajan is only, bhajan has a two-cycle, a small, you know, one-cycle music. And it was done, and this is how Swami, again, lifted me up in the studio itself. Amen. And when this bhajan was sung, those who were doing the chorus, they came out and they were all weeping and crying. I said, what happened to you? Because it was not happening to me. Akhil Jagat Ke Data Sai, they said, this composition is so beautiful.
When you just mentioned that they cried, but it didn't happen to you. No. I remember apparently one Swami said, that's how responsible the position of a singer is, Swami said. Even though sometimes you may not have feelings, there are so many other people who are depending on you to convey their feelings to the Lord, and that is why you have to sing it well.
Yeah, exactly. And when people tell you that there is one way of complimenting, that you sang it very well, which is in very technical terms, somebody tells you that, oh, you did this well, and you did that well, and that, here in our parlance, that touch was good.
Yes.
But when somebody tells you, irrespective of anything,
correct,
you sang it with lot of feel.
Yes.
That is what we want to hear. Now at this stage, this is where we are, that exactly. I want people, when people tell me that there was lot of feel, brother, you lifted me up. And then you feel that, okay, Swami, my life is worthwhile. That singing was worthwhile. Otherwise, when it comes to technicalities, the sky is the limit, and you know the whole world right from the beginning of time, those people where they are now, those who are here and where we will be. Life is so impermanent. But then that apart, that music, this is what we learn from him. And there is one young singer in Sikkim, another wonderful singer, and he's like my younger brother. His name is Ravi Kiran, and it was the year 2000. He wanted to sing bhajans and bring out a bhajan album. So he was after me in Prashant Land telling me that, look, I have brought money with me to pay the studio charges and I want some bhajans. I was not prepared and I was running a very high temperature and I was not feeling well. And I told him that, look, I don't think it will happen this time. At least I am not prepared. And I don't have a stock of bhajans. It doesn't happen that way. I am not a composer in a very conventional sense that for this I'll sit and compose. It doesn't happen that way. So you'll have to go to somebody who has some bhajan compositions. You know. Then he said that if we are not going to record it this time, in my lifetime I'll never sing. Now this was such an ultimatum. And then he asked the state president of Sikkim, Sai Organization of Sikkim, to tell me, to pressurize me that I should sit and do some music, some bhajan. But I said, how can I? And then Swami went to Vrindavan. So by the time I had already, you are no more student here, and the year 2000. And then you go out there and you don't have a place to sit. You don't have a place to live in the hostel. So I was staying in the city, and at that time it was very difficult to commute from the city to Whitefield every day for Swami's darshan. And being an old student, for some reason, I was not allowed to go inside. So I was sitting there right in the Sai Ramesh Hall for the bhajan. I was praying to Bhagwan, and almost, every day he was giving me one composition. Like we would sit for Swami's darshan, and Swami would every day pat me or give me his pad namaskar. It was so beautiful at that time. And then at the end of the darshan, by the time we would be boarding the bus to go back to the city, I would have a new composition to tell him.
Amazing.
So it happened, we stayed in Bangalore for 1 week. And because we couldn't really afford to go and stay in a hotel every day. So we went to our Nandagopal's auntie. She had some room in her basement. So she just allowed us to crash there, stay there. And we didn't have a harmonium or nothing. So every day I had to depend on just praying to Bhagwan and then mentally working up the composition that he was giving me and writing it down immediately during darshan. Because these bhajans are never sung. One or two of these bhajans I can share here a little bit.
Gajvadana Vikna Vinashak Deva Prathama Pujya Tum Parama Dayavan Siddhi Vinayak Deva Gajavadana Vigna Vinashak Deva Matangavadana Dina Sahayak Matangavadana Dina Sahayak Ekadant Advait Pradayak Ekadant Advait Pradayak Bhav Sindhu Bhav Dukh Vinashak Bhav Sindhu Bhav Dukh Vinashak Siddhi Vinayak Deva Siddhi Vinayak Deva Gajavadana Vigna Vinashak Deva.
This was the first bhajan that Swami gave me during that time. And then another beautiful bhajan was
హే ఈశ్వరి నందన రాఘవ సాయే దయానిధే భగవాన్. హే ఈశ్వరి నందన రాఘవ సాయే దయానిధే భగవాన్. కౌశల్యాత్మజ దశరథ నందన అగణిత ఆనంద త్రిభువన వందిత పరతీశ్వర సాయి కరుణానికేతన్. పరతీశ్వర సాయి కరుణానికేతన్ దయానిధే భగవాన్. హే కృపానిధే భగవాన్.
అండ్ యు రిమెంబర్ దట్ భజన్ నందలాల శ్యామ సుందర నందలాల. Once I heard it being sung here.
Nandalala.
So this bhajan was composed long back when Sanjeev Barwara sang it.
Okay.
He introduced this bhajan in Purnachanda Auditorium for the first time. And for reasons, Swami stopped it.
Okay.
And the bhajan got stopped. Maybe one of the reasons why nobody sings.
It's not sung often.
It's not very sung often. Very few times after that, Sanjeev resurrected this bhajan, if I could use that word.
Yes.
And then he sang it once or twice.
That's also your composition?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
And this bhajan also, I asked Ravi Kiran to sing. That's why I remember that bhajan.
Because this bhajan, that Nandalala is a bit unlike your bhajan, because it's not like that very flowy kind.
Yeah.
Nandalala. Shyam Sundar Nandalala.
You know the story behind this bhajan is, it's so beautiful. Once, I think I've shared this before you.
No, sir.
Yeah.
The story of this bhajan.
Not this bhajan. But what I was doing, I was late and I was sitting there for darshan outside and Swami was giving darshan. And Radhe Govind Krishna Murari. That bhajan was going on. And then Swami was maintaining that rhythm and walking. And when the next bhajan was sung, the only bhajan that I have ever heard in 10 matras, and when that bhajan was sung by Sanjeev, and then Swami just shifted his stand and he was again walking on that beat. So actually this was transfixed in my mind, you know, like I could never forget that. The way he took two steps forward, and when one lady fell on him and scratched his lotus feet, and then he took two steps backward. So this entire movement was exactly on the beat of that bhajan. So that whole regal splendor of Shri Krishna with Kaustubh and Banamala, that was the thought which was so powerful in my mind, in my imagination. And this bhajan was an outcome of that.
Kaustubh Dhari Banamaladhar Shamal Madan Gopal Radhe Shyam Radhe Shyam Sai Shyam Sai Shyam Radha Madhav Madan Gopal Mathura Nath Gopal Parati Nandan Hridaya Sanjeevan శ్యామల మదన గోపాల శ్యామల మదన గోపాల నందలాలా శ్యామ సుందర నందలాలా.
ఇట్స్ జస్ట్ ద ఫీల్ వాజ్ లైక్ యు నో హీ ఈస్ ప్లేయింగ్ హిస్ ఫ్లూట్ అండ్ ఇన్ ద వ్యాలీ ఇట్స్ ఈక్వింగ్ అండ్ నందలాలా. That was the feel in my mind when the bhajan was being composed.
So beautiful. In fact, I think we really need to share this with the bhajan singers, because people do not know this background. The way it is sung, it doesn't perhaps convey this sort of feeling. You know, people sing it in a slightly different way. It becomes like that bhajan.
Yeah.
But actually, the mood and everything behind it is very different. And the way you sang it is very different.
It's so powerful and so beautiful. And I have forgotten one bhajan which I have shared already before, I think, when I was still a student here as a PhD scholar. And I must have shared this. I was returning home to the ashram And on the way, Pandit Shyam Srivastava was coming. He was heading for the school where he was teaching Hindi. And he told me that, have you ever thought of a combination of Malhar and Jaijavanti?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the inspiration to go back, just forgo my lunch, go back to the institute, sit in the foyer, and with a harmonium that day. And I was just playing around, and all of a sudden, the words and the bhajan, everything started flowing, and I just wrote it down. And that bhajan Sanjeev Barbora sang before Bhagwan, and it's etched in my memory, the way he sang, and the way Swami made all those wonderful mystic, you know, gestures that he does. And it not only lifts you up, but it lifts the bhajan, the spirit of the bhajan. And then the whole world says that it's a beautiful bhajan. It's accepted by the people. Because the Lord has accepted it. And he has accepted his own song, his own composition. That apart, the song was this. Giridhar Nagar. I won't sing it because you know it and it's being sung here. So
maybe you can just sing two lines. Yeah, it's such a beautiful bhajan.
Giridhar Nagar Kunj Bihari. Giridhar Nagar Kunj Bihari. Madhuban Sanchari Parti Bihari. Madhuban Sanchari Parti Bihari. Giridhar Nagar Kunj Bihari. Shyamal Sundar Mayur Mukut Dhar. Pankaj Lochan Madhav Mohan. Madhubana Sanchari Parti Bihari. Madhubana Sanchari Parti Bihari. Giridhar Nagar Kunj Bihari.
Even though we have heard this many times, but you know, always I think when the composer sings it, it's always different. Because at every line, the bhava that you express is very different. And I think that comes only because you could relate to the bhajan 100%.
Yeah, that is also there. But sometimes, as I told you,
There are people who do more than what you had also imagined.
Because I used to listen to S. Kumar.
Yes.
I had asked S. Kumar to sing. In fact, Ramaya Ram Bhadraya, that Raghukula Bhushana, S. Kumar sang it before Bhagwan. And the way he sang was, again, much more than 100%. And it was so beautiful. And even today, I feel that there is no substitute for S. Kumar when it comes to this beautiful bhajan that he sang. And Lakshminarayan Kote singing a particular bhajan. That last time I was telling some bhajans to Ashwath, and then he was singing it past 100%. So sometimes it's not that every time that you sing it and you feel it, but that bhava definitely,
true,
the flow of the bhava is there, very natural.
Yes.
When you are singing it, because you can relate yourself, you relate to that moment and that.
Well, because I think that bhajan in the hands of the composer has this one feel. When another accomplished singer sings it, they probably make it better and they add their own elements to it.
Exactly.
Its original form is what the composer gives with that feeling. Wonderful, sir. And I know today we have, even though we've been sharing and engaged in this satsang for nearly 2 hours now, but what we have done probably is only not even scratch the surface, because there are so many moments with Bhagwan, so many moments of divine inspiration, because the history and the privilege of being with him and basking in his close proximity and adoring him through music happened with you for more than 3 decades, and it continues even now. So we just hope and pray to Bhagwan that we get this opportunity to sit again together and think about his form, think about all the beautiful thoughts that he has instilled in us, and how we can purify ourselves and express this form of music, use this form of music to express those beautiful feelings that are there in our hearts that he himself has given us. Thank you very much, sir, for your time. And I'm really extremely grateful to Bhagwan for arranging this evening in Radio Sai.
Thank you so much, Vishu.
Sai Ram.
So that was Brother Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim, and this was a conversation that was recorded early this year with him. And as mentioned, we were able to share with you the stories of some of his compositions, and there are so many more. And even before I played this for you, I played some of the new compositions that were sent to us by listeners in response to our request as part of the Avtar Declaration Day program, a festival where we had a bhajan competition, which later turned out to be a bhajan offering to Bhagwan, completely a occasion to share our love to Bhagwan. And when it comes to sharing our love with Bhagwan, there can never be competition. It can only elevate us. There can never be where we are one against the other. We are one with the other for God. And that is what is the whole purpose of community singing. Bhagwan says that when you sing alone, your heart is merged in the song. But when you sing with many more people, then the whole thing acquires a divine power. And it is this power which will elevate you as well as elevate others. Just like when you are in a team, even if one or two are not performing well, everyone benefits from it. And if one or two perform very well, everyone benefits from it. So that is how a team works, and that is how bhajan works. And Swami said, only when we sing together, bhajans will acquire that divine energy which can purify us, purify the environment, purify everything surrounding us. So let us make use of the Akhand Bhajan opportunity which Bhagwan has given us. And that is how we start these birthday celebrations, 89 birthday celebrations. And let this be a birthday moment for us when we give birth to love, give birth to purity, give birth to sublimity in our lives. It's already time. Thank you so much for being with us all throughout the day. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. And on behalf of all of us at Radio Sai, I place my humble salutations and grateful pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet for having given us this opportunity to bask in His love and share His love with all of you. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.